it is completely possible to make over $500,000. Let me say it one more time. $500,000 your first year in wholesaling real estate. It is completely fair. It is completely right. And you have all the tools today in this video where I'm going to break down, you and I, our complete blueprint guide for making over $500,000 your first year in wholesaling real estate. Now, is this going to be an easy journey? Is this going to be an easy process? No, it's not going to be easy. And I feel like the pursuit of it being difficult and the great goal of having that is worth going after, right? The point of it being hard is kind of a given, right? If you're going to work hard to get to this goal, you can definitely achieve it. The problem is most wholesalers, they know, right? They all want to make $500,000, but they're not willing to do what it takes to get to $500,000. And what we're going to do today is just show you a step-by-step game plan blueprint of how to go like kind of normal and then just curve your way all the way up to $500,000 a year in your first year in wholesaling real estate in 365 days. Now, coming from two wholesalers that make millions of dollars per year in wholesaling real estate, I can tell you we've been through this journey before and I feel like we're qualified to let you guys know how to do it. And I've taught plenty of people who are making over $500,000. Like, we got one guy that we're helping out. He just got his first 100K month. Wow. And it's just like, we help these people out because you can do the same thing. So I've helped the people out. I've shown you guys how to do it time and time again. And what I'm going to do is just give you an updated version today on really how to do it step by step. But before I break it down, guys, you already know what to do. Okay. You guys, you just got to go out here and make sure you smash that like button. You hit that subscribe button and always comment below your questions and we can help you become the best wholesaler possible. So without further ado, before I break it all down, cue the intro and let's get some wholesaling deals.
Do it.
Get the fuck out of bed, bitch. Go. Wake up, bitch, get up. Get up, get up.
Snap! We're back.
We're back.
We're ready to go. We're excited about this. So $500,000. That's a lot of money. But if you're willing to actually go out here and do what we say and do the action that we're going to tell you that is really required for it, no way you can't not make them $500,000. So let's break it all down, guys. You know, we got to get out of bed, no sleep, ready to go. So 500K first year. Let's break this down. Let's share how to do it and how you can become a beast in wholesaling real estate. So one quote about making $500,000, and this is probably the best quote I've heard about scaling up a wholesaling operation, actually making a ton of money, right? Sometimes it's not how fast you row your boat, it's how fast the stream is going. And what does that mean? A lot of wholesalers, they'll work really hard, right? They'll quote, grind it out, right? Like a man, I'm working 90 hours and they're making like 100K a year. Nothing wrong with that. That's very noble. That's very great. But it's like, yeah, I'm rowing the boat so hard. That's so cool. But I'm rowing really lightly and the stream's just helping me out, right? You have to understand there are different aspects in wholesaling real estate. You do not have to go out here and work 100 hours a week to be the champ, right? I mean, it's kind of, I did that. Okay. So FYI, I did that. I was on a good stream and I rowed hard. So it was double good. But don't act like that's what it needs to be for success, right? Like I'm crazy, okay? I'm nuts in the head. So like I can have that excuse. But you guys, you don't have to be doing that.
Some of you are rowing upstream.
And yeah, some of you guys are rowing upstream. So I want you guys to know you're in a boat right now and you're trying to get to that destination. Some of you guys are going off the wrong stream. You guys are going off the wrong river and you're like, oh, it's not working because you're doing it the wrong way. And so that's why I wanted this video because I feel like so many wholesalers, they're in the wrong boat. And the wrong river. Sometimes they're on the boat, wrong river. Right? So you're not doing the right strategy it takes to get to that point. So I kind of want to say that quote starting out so you can kind of visualize where you're at right now and where you actually need to be going. And so, guys, it's not how fast you row. It's exactly being in the right stream. So kind of my story, and just like FYI, I'm going to give everyone my story because I think my story is a little faster than yours, like going to a point, and I can kind of just rant through.
Mine's painful.
It's a long one. But basically, you know, broke bag boy, 17 years old. Started wholesaling at 17 after seeing my dad do it. I put a bunch of bandit signs, pretty much We Buy Ugly Houses signs outside of my high school wrestling tournaments, and basically scaled that up, makes millions of dollars, seven figure wholesaling, one of the biggest ones in Florida, right? That's basically my story. And so how I started making $500,000 a year and turning that into millions and millions of dollars, it's really honestly for most wholesalers, it's three stages. Oh, I got to put, three stages, right? There's the learn and earn stage, which basically from 17 to 18 years old, I was just learning wholesaling. I was going very slow. I was making about 100K. Then I started growing, right? I started getting in the right streams, if that made sense. I started doing the right marketing channels. My skills on talking to sellers went up. I got really good at cold calling, right? I gained it up. And then with stage three, I learned how to scale that. That is when we had 100K a year. I mean, basically $1 million between the two of us split, 19, 20 years old, and then just pretty much doubling that every other year from there and just doing very well for ourselves. But we have to understand that this is a process that took me like 3 years to do. To get to a 500K a year net to me, 3 years. Think about that for a second. 3 years. So how can I get 3 years of what Zach did in 1 year, right? That's the real question. Now, if I had the knowledge I had now, all day, every day, right? Like easy, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a little more difficult when you don't have the knowledge I have. That's why we're kind of creating this guide today for you. You're going to have to pack in 3 years of what I had to do to get to that point. And for $500,000 for you, it took a lot longer. So that's why, like, okay, let's do my story because it's a little quicker. And how do I condense that even further for you? And that's really what we're talking about today. And so how do you condense that? And how do you make your $500,000, right? Well, let's kind of talk about these stages really quick. And then we can talk about how you can use it for your game plan, right? For stage one, that learn and earn stage, you are going to basically focus on just 100 grand. That is the goal, right? Five deals before I graduated high school. Strictly bandit signs. Like that's all I did. I was a one-shot pony, but I did stuff that actually worked. I was still learning the ins and outs of wholesaling. I made a ton of rookie mistakes, lost deals, got deals I was really lucky with, right? But it was a big struggle for me. But still, I kind of struggled through it and made a lot of money. Stage two, right? This is my growth stage, right? I was adding on top of what I already knew. I was just leveling up in the game, right? I learned how to do more marketing channels, more lists. I basically tripled my business by adding in cold calling. I failed a lot trying to learn how to hire callers and train them. And this is when I became pretty much elite at acquisitions and calling. Like I just eat one of the best in the country, right? If not the best. I'm not saying that in an ego way, but like I just, no one put more time into calling than me. I mean, at my age, easily 19 years old, but I'm telling you as a teenager, it was insane. I became elite at acquisitions and calling. And this really brings us to step three when I was just kind of scaling it up. And this is kind of where we're at today, you know, partner up with dad, right? And we just started going crazy with systems. No, I didn't go on any more appointments anymore. I had employees doing it. There's a lot of growing pains. There's a lot of scaling, a lot of training, it was bad, right? It's just training people and training. Oh, this guy left. You got to bring the new guy. It was a complete mess. I mastered the wholesaling game. I mastered how to train people effectively and how to manage them. And then from there, it just got even crazier. And that's kind of the point we're at now, the scale phase. So how can you use this to make a ton of money in wholesaling real estate? That's the real question today, right? Like, how are you going to use that to do it, right? And then also the abundance stage. I was going to skip this one, but basically I added virtual markets, teaching, flexing on gurus, making money, and basically doing creative deals. But this stage is kind of, we don't need to talk about that right now. What you really need to know today is the Express Pass, right? This is kind of the main course that we're talking about today, but you need to basically do those three stages in 1 year, not 3 years, 1 year. And so I basically have created the system for you where you basically do Express it. You're going to have to do each stage, not in a year, but in 3 months. It's literally like, was it Disney World? They got the Express Pass. Just skip the line. Just go into it, right?
I thought it was the fast pass.
Fast pass, whatever it is. That's what you guys have to do. You have to use the fast pass to get wholesaling deals. And once you're able to do that, you're going to be fine. But you just have to understand the fast pass. This is what it's all about. So let's talk about this. Let's break it down. Let's get into how you can use it. 500K your first year. What are some of the traits you're going to need? First of all, you're going to need a high work ethic. Let me say it one more time. You're going to need a high work ethic. You are going to have to work your butt off. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, if you're the type of person that doesn't want to work hard, you ain't going to get it right.
Not even close.
Not even close with it, right? You are going to have to be in what I call the perfect market, right? You cannot be in a subpar market and do this your first year, right? You're going to have to be in a market that works, virtual, in person, right? I mean,
correct.
You start wholesaling in the perfect market. I start wholesaling in the perfect market. I hate to say it like that. And heck, if you're in a bad market, you do virtual wholesaling in that perfect market, right? We teach you at freewholesaling.com how to find that perfect market.
Just pick your market carefully, especially if you're doing a virtual. And you got to go really where the population, the demographics, and most importantly, the cash buyers are, because some of you guys just pick the wrong market, and no matter what you do, you're going to struggle.
So you need to be in the perfect market here. On top of this too, you're going to have to utilize leverage. Let me say it one more time. You're going to have to utilize leverage. Leverage is a lever, right? I think, did Socrates say that? Maybe some philosopher said, if you give me a big enough lever, I can lift the world. And it's true. A lever can make you lift insane things, right? You can use a jack to jack up a car, thousands of pounds, right? The lever is the tool, right? And the point how levers work is you can literally kind of not in too much work and just lift something 500 pounds because of how momentum works and gravity and all these things. And so you're going to have to leverage time. And so if it takes, let's say, 100 hours to get a wholesaling deal, you can hire 10 people to work 10 hours instead of you working that 100 hours in a day to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, deal a day, crank it up. The real key here is leverage. And that is how you're going to effectively scale in your wholesaling real estate operations. You're going to have to learn the power of leveraging. Usually you have to spend money on employees, marketing systems, things like that, right? You're going to have to really get good at going for the no. You're going to have to get extremely well at letting people down with the worst no's possible. You're going to have to get the lowest lowball offers, because once you do this, this is what making 50K a month, 500K a year easy, because you're making 40, 50, 60K on these wholesaling deals because you're just going for the no, right? Yeah. It's the biggest secret, guys. It's like, what's the difference? And I want you to really think about this hard between I've seen this so many times, the wholesaler that's making 300K a year and the wholesaler making 500K a year. Is it how much deals they're doing? Is it how many? No, it's just making lower offers. Because remember, if you just increase your average assignment fee from 10 grand to 15 grand, you add your revenue up by 50% by doing nothing else except just getting lower contract prices. Think about that for a second. Your contract prices go lower. You sell for the same. The MAO stays the same.
Yeah.
But if the contract prices go down, it gets insane. And so going for that no, you're really only making 300K, but because you can utilize the perfect market with the leverage of time, with the super low ball offers, so when you start making 50, 60, $70,000 deals, guys, every single deal I've made over 100K, all with go for no. $100,000 deals, $115,000, it's insane. But you just have to learn the power of saying, of make sure the seller says no, change everything in your life, right?
I mean, like the buy, if you don't ask for it, you're not getting it.
Nope.
And a lot of you are scared that, well, you know, if I get rejected, it's over. No. That's just the starting ground. That's where the negotiations begin. So listen, either way, if they're motivated, you're going to walk out of the deal. The question is, you're going to walk away with a $10,000 deal or a $50,000 deal. And if you're trying to guess what your seller is going to sell for, you are wasting your time. I'm just telling you, go for no. A lot of you go, well, if I do that, I'll never get a deal. I'm telling you, if there's a deal there, you just get a better deal. Because you're trying to predetermine what the seller is going to sell to you for. By using the go for no strategy, you can almost double your assignment fees and easily get to a $500,000. The reality is a lot of you are scared because you're programmed by society. Like, oh my God, I'm going to get rejected. Listen, you're going to get rejected regardless.
Yeah.
So you might as well use it as a strategy. And just because you get rejected doesn't mean you're not getting a deal. You can always take your crappy $5,000 or $10,000 deal.
Yeah.
But if you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it.
Exactly. So guys, just remember, go for the no here. It's going to lead you to more assignment fees. And the next one here, very important. Volume, volume, volume. I cannot stress this enough. If you increase your volume, you increase your deal flow. The more calls you make, the more leads you do, the more texts you do, the more drawing for dollars, the more high quality lists will lead you to talking to more sellers. This is how easy the wholesaling real estate game is. The more sellers you talk to, the more deals you usually get. Simple, right? Yep. That's it. The more offers you make, the more contracts you get.
Shocking.
So how do I get more offers out here? I got to market more, more calling, more texting, more, right? It's DJ Khaled says, you know, another one. You just can't stop. You got to keep going. You cannot stop in this business. You have to keep the volume up. And that's really, so yes, it's about making high quality offers and everything, but you have to increase the volume. Fastest way to increase volume, increase the amount of calls you're making and the texts you're doing. Simple as that. So let's do a detailed breakdown. Step by step, 500K a year. What do you need to know? What do you need to do? How do you get it done like this? Let's break it all down. So number one, we're talking about stage one. Literally, stage one, month one through three. And you know, I know stage one's making your first 100K, but at this point, you're only going to make 50K probably. I have to be realistic with you guys. You're still making $500,000, but I know it seems like you're not going far, but you got to trust me on this one. Month one to three, you just got to do one deal a month. Hopefully make what? 15K, 15K, 17, 18K, the other deal, right? Remember, I'm assuming you're broke, right? I'm assuming you got no money. And that's not, if you have some money, perfect. Like that makes it even easier for you. But you're just going to have to learn how to go from no money to some deals. And so like, what do you do in this stage, right? You're broke. You got no money, right? You got government list to cold call. You can do texting from your regular phone, right? You got a lot of stuff you can do. Also on top of that too, like drive for dollars, reverse drive for dollars, sticky notes. There's a million things you can do right now. But just understand in wholesaling real estate, when you got no money, you can't be doing all these crazy things. You got to stick to the stuff that when you got no money, you can start doing. No gurus ever talks about it. They don't want it. They can't sell a course on it, right? But really, cold calling government lists, free list, free marketing channel, texting from your cell phone, it's free. Google voicing it for the cold calling, truepeoplesearch.com for the skip tracing. It's not that complicated, guys. Like drawing for dollars, reverse drawing for dollars. You got digital bandit signs you can put out. There's a million ways you've got no money at all to do wholesaling deals. The truth is most people don't want to talk about it. They don't have a conversation about it. That's what it literally takes. So that's month one through three. We're going to make 50K. Now month three through six, we're being solo. We got no employees. I know that seems weird, but first 6 months of the year, we're only going to make about 200K and then 300K the last year, right? Basically, well, maybe a little more than that, but as you know, so basically month three through six, we want to get to hopefully 50K a month solo. And how do you do this? We are giving a detailed breakdown of this today. So I'm not leaving you hanging on this one, I promise you. But most likely, and this is going to be the best plan of action helping people out, you're going to take that 50K you made and just pour it in back in the business. And what did I say was the key in wholesaling real estate, especially when scaling up, is leveraging, right? So you're going to leverage your time. You're going to leverage your marketing with spending that cash into some paid marketing channels that actually work, right? Our favorite being ROS postcards, direct mail postcards, right? We're biased. We created the ROS system with open letter marketing. And it's the best direct mail system out there. We actually have a direct mail course inside of fuelsing.com about it, but that postcard works like crazy. And what you have to understand about it is direct mail is expensive, but you have 50K to spend. And the point is you send the direct mail out, you just get calls in. It's the only marketing channel where you pay for it. And the leads kind of work for you. I was talking to another guy the other day. He said, I had this marketing service and they promised me, I gave him $3,000. They would give me all the leads and deals and it never happened. And I'm like, shocker, right? But why, right? Because they promised too much. The only that you click a button and leads come in. The only one is direct mail. What about Facebook ads? Facebook ads, you have to check your Facebook ads every single day. You have to make sure the algorithm's working. You have to make sure, oh, is the ad spend good on this? Or what's the return on ad sales? And what's the PPC? What's the click-through rate? That's like cold calling. It's a lot of work. SEO, you got to redo your SEO every single week, basically, right? The algorithm changes. Direct mail, get a list from listaria.com, use that, boom. That's how simple it is. And so you can leverage your time and everything for you to have a lot of success on this, right? So it'll help you out a lot. And so what I could tell you is 3 to 6 months, you're going to leverage that cash you've been making into wholesaling real estate. You're still going to do it solo. Then the last part, we're getting to like 50K a month still, but we're going to hire a team to kind of make us not work, you know, 12, 13 hours a day anymore, right? Yeah. We're going to hire a team, and it's going to be a little work to train them. It's not going to be fun, but you'll make that 300K, and that's 500K your first year. That's basically what it is. And so let's kind of do a detailed breakdown of these months one through three, right? It's it's a grind, not going to lie, right? Month one through three, you're going to do one deal a month, right? What we said, 50K, right? I would stick to drying for dollars. I would stick to reverse drying for dollars, cold calling government lists. But if you can, drying for dollars, reverse drying for dollars would be your best one. Freelancing.com, we break it all down, right? We are going to leverage our first deal into some paid marketing. 10, 12 grand, just maybe we can pay for some script tracing, make our life a little easier here, right? You just got to do it, right? It's painful, but you're going to do it, right? What are some good paid leverage tools? I've always said this. This is going to be direct mail, SMS text blasting. I love smszach.com for it. Hiring some cold callers, skip tracing, and then probate mailers. The reason why I say probate mailers is they're not the cheapest in the world, but what I can tell you with probate mailers is they hit. And these are $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 deals, and they're difficult deals. But because the difficulty is high, the reward's greater.
Right? Yeah, it's just about consistency with probate. So it's there's not a ton of leads. So like even it costs you a dollar a lead to like put it out, but you're doing this all within your home. You can't outsource probate letters because they're too frequent and there's not enough.
No, that's the problem. That's the main issue with it. So just understand, let's get that first deal first and then we can go from there, right? And then we basically get into month three through six, right? This is when we're kind of re-leveraging everything. We're getting that solo 150K. We're still doing everything ourselves. This is all going to be solo pretty much to the point, but you're going to keep going, right? You're going to do some more direct mail. We're going to follow up a lot more. We're probably doing that 12-hour a day wholesaling lifestyle where we work 12 hours, sleep eight, family for like four or whatever it is, brushing your teeth, whatever. You start JVing, you're building up your relationships, you're getting deal flow coming in, you're consistently pulling in leads every single day. This is where it's working, right? And then really month six through 12, we're at 50K a month with a team, right? So how do you do this, right? You're going to hire people for your marketing, your cold calling, texting, whatever process you're doing, your dispositions, you're going to start billing cash buyers, do walkthroughs, you can get an acquisitions agent, most likely two at this point. And they're going to go out here and just start doing wholesaling deals for you, right? They're ones going on these appointments. They're ones doing these deals. They're ones doing basically everything here, right? We're going to start hiring people. And really, at that point, we start training employees. In our opinion, you should go to FlipDirect Plus. We have an employee training library where you don't have to spend 15 hours a week training someone, right? You just put them through the FlipDirect Plus. Literally, our employee training that we give to our people, it's inside of FlipDirect Plus, and you can just give it to them there. And it'll save you probably 10 hours a week, honestly. That's why a lot of people like it when they're scaling up. But yeah, it's the employee training, the Flipbook Plus employee training library. That's how you should train them. Like it'll save you so much time. I wish I had it when I was training my acquisitions people, not going to lie. But really at this point, we are doing what we call mass marketing. At the point, we're doing a lot of rotation-based marketing. I know it seems very high level. We teach high level in freelancing.com when you want to go to the scaling modules on there, but we're doing mass texting. We're doing ROS direct mail at an insane pace, like literally just mostly just high equity because you're doing so much at that point. And you're cold calling, right? You're doing on a rotation per markets. So you're hitting, let's say we have one city, we're going to hit them with a text 1 month, a direct mail 1 month, and then the month after with a call, right? And then 3 months later, you know, they hit with another text, right? That's month 6 through 12. I can tell you through my lessons of scaling, I've been through a lot, and I can tell you these fundamental truths. Confidence and skills will come from experience. How do I gain skills? How do I gain confidence? The fastest, best, plainest way is just to have experience. I would love for you to be completely confident talking to a seller without having a conversation with a seller at all.
That'd be great.
It's hard. Okay. There's some people naturally that they got it, but the best way is just to do it. How do you gain the skills? You just got to kind of fail. I hate to say it, but you got to fail. And when you fail, you gain experience, the skills, and the confidence to keep pushing. You will fail in wholesaling, but that's okay. You got to eat the frog. And what does eat the frog mean? I think it's a book, Eat the Frog. You know, I think I read that book a very long time ago. But basically the process of it is, if you knew you had to eat a frog in a day, is it better to wait all day psychologically tortured about eating that frog, or just throw the frog down the throat and just get, and just and just deal with it, and then you're not tortured the entire day? The net positive is just to do the thing that sucks in the beginning, so you're not psychologically tortured from it, right? That creates discipline, mental toughness, and hard work. Now, have I ever eaten a frog? No. Do I plan on doing it? No. But it's an analogy for life. Calling, going to freelancing.com, watching these videos, participating in live streams, cold calling a seller, going in the appointment, building buyers. All these things are eating the frog, and you are being psychologically tortured about eating the frog when you should just eat it, right?
Suck it
down, right? It's going to feel weird. It's going to be terrible. But guess what? When it's over, it's done. And so that's what you have to, you guys, you know, you have to work hard. You know, you have to do the work, but you're not doing it right now. And why? Because you're procrastinating and it's torturing your mind right now. And it's just making you a worse wholesaler. Do the thing that sucks now. It will build mental toughness, resiliency, and it'll build consistently. It will build consistency in your wholesaling business. And once you build that consistency, you'll make a lot more money wholesaling. That is the point, guys and gals. Eat that dang frog. Next part, show up and work every single day. We've personally never found one wholesaler that showed up every single day, kept at it, kept fighting, that didn't make pretty much 100K, right? If you show up every single day, you keep going and you never quit, that's it, right? The only people that have followed me for, what, the 4 or 5 years we've been doing YouTube since day one that hops on the one-on-ones, they all have six figures because they never quit in 4 years. Never, ever once. And remember, in wholesaling real estate, I know it's a very controversial opinion, but I've always said there's winners and losers. And how do I find a winner and how do I find a loser in wholesaling? This is a pretty easy one. A winner in wholesaling is someone that gets a deal and it's become successful, right? And what's a loser? A loser in wholesaling real estate is somebody that quit. That's it. Well, and so, but what if I haven't gotten a deal and well, you're just a winner in training. And so like, you're not a winner, but you're not a loser. You're kind of a winner in training, right?
Yeah.
But once you decide you're going to quit and be a chump, you're done. You're a loser. I don't want to say that in a mean way. It's not mean. I don't think you're a terrible human being, but you're a loser in wholesaling real estate.
Guys, think about this. Everybody thinks of winners like forged during like their triumphs and their closings. It's actually the complete opposite. My biggest revelations in wholesaling were when I was actually doing my worst. Why? Because I was so humbled. I lost my ego and I go, okay, this isn't what's working. This is what I need to do. I know I need to do. And if I'm going to get this done, I have to be accountable to myself. Oh. And all of a sudden I started taking actions. And then 2 or 3 months later, deals flow in. And so I was like, oh my God, you're doing so good. The reality is you forge your winner attitude when you're getting your butt kicked. Listen, do you think Elon Musk came up like Tesla, all this stuff when he had a lot of money from previous ventures, but the most creative people, the people that created Apples, everything like that, they did it in their garage, in their basement, living with their parents, trying to figure it out. You are no different. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't go through that hard time, it's never going to make you the winner. Regardless, if you don't quit, you're either going to get a great deal or you're going to get a lesson. They're both as value. I know you don't feel that right now, but that's part of the journey of wholesaling. So many people go to me and like you look back when we started the journey and like we didn't really enjoy it. Like we're always trying to get to the top of the mountain, like kind of enjoy your success as you get through it. If you haven't quit, you have a great shot. If you quit, there's nothing I can do for it. It means your expectations were greater than what you thought you had to do. And I can't fix that gap for you. So don't quit.
Don't be a quitter. Be a winner in training or a winner coming in here. So show up and do the work every day. If you literally show up, you'll do well. The problem is the people that don't want to show up. That's it. Okay. Do you want to get stronger in the gym? Just show up every day and work out. That's it. Do the work. And probably the most important lesson, you will go through struggle. Let me repeat that. This is an important one. You will go through struggle.
I don't see it in all these coaching platforms and influencers. They say you just sit on the beach and sip a Mai Tai.
Mai Tais, yes. But you will go through struggle.
Guarantee it.
And I want you to look at that sentence for a second. Internalize that in your head. Accept that you will struggle. Accept that this is going to be difficult. Accept that this will be an issue in your life. Accept that it's not going to feel good. All right, have you simmered down? Have you felt that? Good. Now you're not going to cry about it. You understand this will be a struggle. This will not be easy. But because it's not easy, there will be a great reward in the end. I've always said this, and I'll use this analogy again, but everyone loves comic books. They love their Spider-Man. They love Batman. They love the heroes. They love Rambo. They love Rocky, right? They love all these things, right? It's their favorite person. Oh, I love the story. I love that movie, right? Why do you like the movie? Because the hero had struggles. He had to go through all this adversity. He overcame it. He defeated the villain. You know, got the fair maiden and ran off in the sunset. That's why they like the movie. It's called The Hero's Journey. That's literally Star Wars, like every single one has that like journey thing. And so because you like it so much because there was struggle in it, why do you think your story is any different? You're a hero in your own story, right? Of course, you're the hero and you're the actor. So of course your character is going to have to go through struggle. It's going to be a stupid movie. It's going to be a stupid movie, right? Duh. Of course Rocky's got to go through struggle, right? Because it's sweeter at the end. So understand, you will have to go through your struggle. It's a canon event. It's in the script. You're going to have villains. You know, you're going to have bad people in wholesaling. Gurus are my villains. So I got to defeat them. The problem is once I defeat one, there's like four more that come in. But I'm just telling you, like, there is struggles. And you have to overcome them struggles. But when you overcome those struggles, you become a better wholesaler. You become a better person, a better man or woman. You start making more money. So that, guys and gals, is how you make over $500,000 your first year wholesaling houses. So it's a fun journey. I know you guys can get through that journey. But the hardest part is just getting that first deal. I have to tell you, it's the hardest part. Once you get that first deal, you can start leveraging up from there and do a lot better.
And guys, keep in mind, this plan that we've laid out, it doesn't say in month one, earn the 500K, hire all the employees and do it. Like here's the reality. If you ask, hey, Rick, can I hire some employees to do this? Go tell me what your skill set and tell me how successful you've been doing it. And if you don't have the skill set and you've never done a deal like that, how are you going to hire people to train to do that for you?
You're wrong.
And I'm just telling you, like, guys, get some deals under your belt because it's going to make you a better leader. It's going to make you understand the struggles people go through on wholesale deals. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but so many people want to skip. They don't want to do any struggle and they think they can hire. Honestly, people get in your back pocket so fast and you're going to come back to me and Zach and go, okay, how do I really do this? In the beginning, especially in the first 90, in my opinion, the 180 days, you just need to do everything you can yourself until you like get some money and then you have money to solve some problems to help you out. And then you can relate to their journey. But if you think you can hire three cold callers and you've never made one cold call, people are going to take advantage of you. Unfortunately, this is the reality of wholesaling. Most of you watching this are targets and everyone's going to tell you the easy way. And the reality is you're going to have to go the hard way to get to the easy way. It's not the other way around. So in your first 6 months, enjoy the journey, learn, struggle with us, understand you're going to get a deal or you're going to get a lesson. Either way, you win and move forward in life. Guys, we're all on this earth. If everything was done for you and easy, you would have no purpose in life. Wholesaling is no different. Enjoy the journey. And also, you make like amazing friends and business partners when you go along the way. You meet really incredible sellers. You get like such experience in life and wholesaling. Outside the actual business part of it, I've met some of the neatest people ever in this business. And honestly, if I didn't do a wholesaling, I wouldn't have nearly the experiences. So you'll meet young people, you meet old people, you meet people with medical issues. Like, I just love helping people out, and that's why it's a great fit. So
yeah, I'm
remember
you
that. You're not starting day one to earn the 500K. You're going to have to go through a journey. And here's a goal. Some people can do it in a few months. Some people take years. Remember, we're running a marathon. You're not running a sprint. Sprinters are dying left and right in wholesaling right now because they don't understand how wholesaling really works. They learned this cute little trick and it worked great in the most incredible market ever. And now you got to go back to the basics and mechanics of wholesaling. So enjoy your journey. You're going to struggle. You're going to have to laugh at yourself. You're going to have to make fun of yourself. And honestly, if you can't do that, if you can't have fun while you're wholesaling, like seriously ask yourself why you're doing it.
Exactly. So what I want to do right here is answer some questions you guys have. Obviously just some one-on-ones we got too, and help you become the best wholesaler possible. So one thing I want to say is we got Hip Psycho says, yo, Rick, does $450 sound right to have a contract reviewed in Florida? I'm using yours, and that's the quote I got from a firm. No.
That's a 1 hour lawyer fee, And honestly, a contract takes less than 5 minutes to review. So once again, remember I told you people will take advantage of you.
Yeah.
This is the exact case. This goes on and on.
He it never could, went to freewholesaling.com, by the way. I know that.
You could go to lawyers. Honestly, here's the reality, guys. Lawyers, if you even have a really bad case and you don't really even have a merit to sue someone, a lawyer will still take your case. Why? Because they get paid between $400 and $500 an hour. And you have no idea how much time it takes. And this, I don't have a beef against lawyers, but I'm just telling you, a lawyer that takes $450 to review our contract, it's all about the money.
No, it.
So you use the notes in there. You can use title companies to review it. They're the ones that actually close your deals. And ours is kind of time tested. But
so first of all, we use that contract in Florida. So it's like, you know, we already paid lawyers to go through it. On top of that too, if I get 10 lawyers in a room, they're going to have 10 different opinions. I just the truth, right? It's like literally asking someone, do they like sushi or not? Well, my person said, yes, they like sushi. Well, my person said, no, they don't like sushi. It's so stupid, right? I don't know that. It's so stupid. Guys, your title company has a lawyer on call there, and they literally have that lawyer on retainer. They will review it for you for free.
Yeah, 400. Like, honestly, save your money because
he didn't go to freewholesaling.com.
This is what I'm talking about. You've guys got to watch. If you just make open offers, you don't understand it. And I appreciate the question. Is they will take your money in a heartbeat, and they would give you the same information for free. And welcome to Capitalism 101. You got to educate yourself and work with people and figure out how can I maximize this business and create a mutual beneficial relationship. So if you just, by the way, guys, if you just go to a lawyer, go, will you review this for me? They're going to charge you because they are offering you a service and you're offering them nothing in return. I would probably do the same to them. I don't. I give you everything for free anyway. So
it's crazy, guys. So, but I don't know why. So who uses his contracts for your deals? They all use the contracts for deals. So do you guys use X contract?
You're over in.
Why are we doing this channel for if you're not going to use our contract? It's hilarious. Yeah.
If you want to reinvent the wheel, dude, go for it. But you're looking at a 20-plus year journey.
If you think your contract's going to be the thing actually stopping you from
doing
well,
the contract's the least of your problems, dude. I could do that on the back of a cocktail napkin.
It's true. Broach B says, just closed today, 19 units for $140,000, Simon. Holy moly. Broach, support@flipwithrick.com or DM me, podcast, and I'll love to have you on the podcast if you can show HUDs and show a proof.
Yeah,
I'm not saying this against him, but for every 10 people that say I want to be on your podcast, only one of them actually will show me a real HUD.
Well, 140K will stick out as a
sign. Oh, it's very easy.
You can't make that up.
So. I had one guy, you know, he was a wholesaling coach, and he asked me a couple weeks ago, he's like, how do I go on your podcast? I just want to give value. I said, you want to give value? Okay, show me your HUDs for the last month. I can't do that. Like you can't share value because I feel like you're a broke wholesaler. You look like a broke wholesaler to me. And he's like, oh, it's private for me.
Right. There's a big movement for the coaching industry to get as many free leads as possible or whatever, joint venture, however they do it. I don't know how they do it because I don't do that. And they just go and get on podcasts and give value away like crazy. I'm like, listen, if you're just going to give value away in trading for coaching dollars, there is no even exchange. And we've had everybody on the podcast. So
yeah, you got to show HUDs. So, hey, Rick and Zach, what are your live schedules? I almost list this one. Pretty simple. On Mondays, Rick Ginn goes live on the Rick Ginn YouTube channel, his personal YouTube channel at 5 p.m. On Tuesdays, I go live on the Flip with Rick YouTube channel. On Thursdays, which are today, we both go live on the Flip with Rick YouTube channel at 1 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Eastern Tuesday. And then
sometimes later.
And then on Sundays, I go live at 10 p.m. on the personal Zach Ginn YouTube channel. That's my live stream schedules. That's what they basically are. We do bonus live streams on Wednesdays and Fridays inside of Flip with Rick Plus. If you're in there, it's small. We can do Zooms with people. That's kind of the point. And then we do extended live streams after live streams over inside of Flip with Rick Plus. So that's basically what that is. Pretty simple. But yeah, that is our live stream schedule. So wholesaling active listings worth pursuing? No. I know your favorite real estate agent guru probably told you that, but no, it's stupid. It's not worth your time. I know it sounds sexy right now, but go talk to 100 agents and try to wholesale that deal. Try to get the deal locked up first. Okay. Have that go smooth with the assignment of contract on there. Second of all, have it be really smooth for them to respect you that you're not a real estate agent. Third, have them have fun with the walkthrough with that one, right? Yeah. And then lastly, have fun when the realtor is reviewing the HUD and see an assignment fee on there and see if the realtor gets butthurt or not. Good luck.
Oh, you missed two more.
Explain them.
Good luck getting past the earnest money deposit because they're all going to want a significant
5-10 grand.
And they're not going to like take your answer. And then you're going to have to ask the realtor, can you delete this off MLS? So, you know, that looks like when I go to wholesale it, they'll get a better price.
No, the cash buyer is going to see it.
If you can get all seven of those things to happen, God bless you. It's a miracle. You have to have a listing rotting for 2 years. And the reality,
100 days usually.
If a listing is rotting 6 or 12 months, 9 times out of 10 is because of the difficult seller. It's not even the agent's fault. Yeah. So you're going to reach out to agents that honestly, they don't want to do business with you anyways. And then you don't have the skill set. You don't know how to talk to them. Guys, people are setting you up for failure. I'm not saying there's plenty of deals with realtors.
There's deals on the MLS. I'll tell you.
It's not a starting wholesaling skill set because why do people put stuff on MLS? Why is that?
Get for the most.
They want the tippy top dollar. And so we want almost the complete opposite. Now, can a MLS listing become a motivated seller? Yes. But the problem is it going to be motivated? Sometimes they got to be motivated just to sell it at market price. So you got like listing prices sky in the high, then you have market price, and then you have us right here. To try to close that gap and not talk to the primary seller is really hard. So one of the ways we get our best deals is we invoke direct connection with the motivated sellers, and we usually don't get a spin on it. Have you ever met a realtor who doesn't have a spin on any listing of property? Oh, there's so much activity on it. 98% of them lie because they're trying to sell you, and it's hard to get a good deal like that. So just know it going into it.
Yeah. So guys, not worth it, but I hate to get on a rant there, but I don't want to be doing
that. Did
it,
I rant? I do rant.
No, I'm ranting.
You know, some call it a rant, some call it the truth.
If it's against gurus, I'll rant all day. So what we're going to do here is do some one-on-ones also. So if you want to talk to us one-on-one, you have to be in our Facebook group, Wholesaling Houses for Real. That is our Facebook group for wholesaling real estate. So let me put the link in for everyone. All right. So here's the link. It's just basically facebook.com/groups/wholesalinghousesforreal. Once you are inside of Wholesaling Houses for Real right here, you'll be able to click here. This is Zach. I posted this right here. It's in the feature tab. You'll be with 110,000 of your favorite friends.
110. Wow.
And you'll be in here and you can click join here and you'll be joined inside of StreamYard with me to talk to me for free. Absolutely for free. So first off, we got Jorge here. Jorge, how are you, man?
Doing good, man. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Are you eating?
Oh, man. Yeah. Did I just see fries there? Was that fries? Damn.
No, those were eggs with tomatoes and onions. But
okay, man.
I just had an advice for you guys because I was on the phone with this seller last evening, and he was a little complicated.
Okay. So
he didn't want to tell me what his motivation. He didn't want to tell me why he was selling. And he was like kind of like wasting my time and his time. Honestly, he didn't even want to say his offer price, like his selling price at first. So I had to throw it in first. So he wanted $360,000 for a 3-bed, 1-bath, and that's like the top dollar price. And I explained to him that he's out of his mind, right? Like that's like top dollar market. Like he wouldn't sell it. That's an old house. I mean, like, it wouldn't go like that. I tried to explain that to him in the best way possible, but he didn't understand, and he didn't want to understand. So I came up with the MAO. I came up with my MIO, and I offered him $191,800 with all the formulas you guys gave and stuff, because I've been following, like, word by word what you guys do, and which I really did. Like, it's... You guys are doing a lot of good stuff for the community. So anyways, I just wanted to ask you, if it was you dealing with this seller, what would you do exactly?
So you didn't explain what happened. So you offer 191. What happened?
Oh, he said that that was nuts. Like, he's not in, he's not that needy. Like, he's not gonna let it go for 190. And he said,
are you talking to the seller or talking to a gatekeeper?
That's the seller, the owner.
So he said he's not. Is he talking to the third person? What did he say? Quote, like, give me the quote.
He said, "I am not that needy. Thanks for your offer."
Okay. So, Jorge, this is really easy. It's like when you ask a girl out and she says no. Right. Like, you're like, do I just keep pursuing you? Like, they said no. You can follow up. Yeah. But like, just being like, can you just say yes? Say yes. It sounds stupid.
Actually, he's doing you a favor.
Yeah, man.
Like, honestly, listen.
He wants too much.
If you asked a girl out, like, you were like, and she just had no interest in it, did you ever have, like, the... someone just like maybe you to death. Like, if you ever had a mother like that, or like a girl you date, well, we'll see. Wouldn't you rather just say, Jorge, it's just a hard no. I'm never doing this with you. I need full retail and your offer's insulting. Dude, Disco, you just did me a favor. I don't have to spend another time with you. And now I can go spend time. Now I'm one no closer to getting a yes. And that's what most of you got to understand is wholesaling is a very niche business. We are only looking for people that need to sell their house. People that want to sell their house, you're usually wasting your time with them. Yeah. The only exception is there's only two things that can change people's minds. It's time and circumstance. So if you want to follow, I wouldn't even follow up for 90 days on this person. Don't even touch it before then. And even then, most likely he's not going to work. And when they get like so far away from price, you're never going to be able to close the gap. And then they're even worse than when they're with a realtor like this. Like, they're that. So I don't spend a lot of energy. I don't even make offers on properties like that when they do that. And you just move on. In the beginning, I used to spend a lot of time with these people. And you'll learn sooner than later, they are all going to waste your time. You are not a realtor. If you want to be a wholesaler, you got to find people that need to sell the house. He's a want. He's actually an excessive want. He's what I call a wish. Mm-hmm. So how do you get a wish to a need? It ain't happening like in this year, I can tell you right now. So you're struggling with it because they rejected you. Like, this is the norm. If I ask 100 people to sell me their house and give them the offer, if I get 5 or 6 that want to work with me, I'm excited because probably 1 or 2 will qualify for a contract. So every time I get a no, I go, yes, I'm that much closer. What really sucks in this business, Jorge, are like the maybes. I don't know. I don't think about it. And that's where you have to learn to use the skill sets we teach you to get through those, because you got to move them to a yes or a no. Sometimes they just need time, but this one, it's easy, man. They rejected you, saved you a ton of time, and you learned a little bit how to talk to people and move forward. Don't fight with people in the wish category. There's nothing you can do. Here's your only response to someone like, when they screw around with you like that, you go, how'd you come up with that number? And just let them explain it. Right. And they'll tell you some crazy way they came up with it. And go, well, I wish you the best of luck. They're not going to get it.
I see.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, maybe I want to like make it work out. So
listen, but that's what realtors do. Wholesalers don't do it. We up our quantity. And every conversation we have, especially when we're learning the business, remember, you didn't fail. You got a lesson. And it's a lesson. It's like, I'm not going to spend time with people who just want to wish to sell their house. Even realtors struggle with those people, by the way. And they'll spend 100 hours with a client. Do you want to waste 100 hours? I don't want you to waste 100 hours. Remember, you can never make somebody sell their house in wholesaling. Realtors can convince people to list it for over market price because they have a game plan to, like, you know, have the coming to Jesus meeting. We don't really have that reality in wholesaling. I don't like to waste people's time. So you're fine. You got to know. I move on. You want to like send them a text in 90 days. Hey, how's that property working out for you? Just leave it at that.
But
like,
get discouraged, man. Yeah, I mean, man. Most people want the most of the house. So the question is, you just can't force it, man. Go to the next one. That's it. Move on.
Okay.
It's normal. What you did is normal. Just don't spend too much time on it. Now, if you had that same conversation and the guy told you the house is a piece of junk, the roof's leaking, it's falling apart, I pursue those a little more aggressive because the house is motivated, but the seller's not. Yes. And you got a shot there, but if the seller's not motivated and he thinks it's, he or she thinks their house is perfect, dude, you got like a 1% chance.
Yeah.
Just the truth. So time and circumstance, send them something that's automated so you don't waste time, maybe a text and move on with your life. And then just go find it. Go, okay, where did I get this guy from? And just make sure you're not getting a ton of people like that on your list.
Yeah.
Right. But you're going to get them. There's no way to avoid them.
Sounds good. And one more thing, maybe this might be like a no-brainer, but I've been like cold calling a lot of people like here, like I'll like to keep track of it. So I work full time, right? I work 6 days a week and I do my mornings. I dedicate my mornings to wholesaling and cold calling, but I've been feeling like it's not the right time to call people. And so I tried, yesterday was my day off, right? So I just started calling people from 6 p.m. and I made more contacts than I do like in the morning. And I got,
Jorge, have you been to freewholesaling.com?
For sure, yeah.
Do you know what the best time for cold calling is?
No.
You didn't go to freewholesaling.com then.
I didn't.
Don't lie to me. You didn't go through the cold calling module. Don't lie to me, man. Freewholesaling.com has it all. The first thing I say in cold calling module in freewholesaling.com is 2 to 7 p.m. is the best, but the best time to get the most contacts is 5 to 7 p.m.
I see.
Answers your question.
Yep. All right. Well, that was it. Thank you very much, guys. Honestly.
All right, go to freewholesaling.com.
You got it, man. We're just trying to help you out. So just use the feedback, and you're not the only person that's ever commented to us like that. Yeah. Just remember, want versus need, and go, okay, why am I wasting my time with this person? I have like zero shot. And find the people that need to sell their house. If they need guidance on trying to how to get to the price, those are the ones you play with. The ones that want to, it would take an act of God for them to do a deal with you. And if you know that up front, you save a lot of energy. You should expect a certain amount of no's. Remember, we are just qualifiers and disqualifiers.
Yeah.
And long as we connect and have great conversations with people, if they need to sell, usually you'll wind up being the best fit for them. The ones that want, I already tell you, you're all wasting your, if you really want to do that, just go to the MLS list. You'll get rejected all day long. And then even if you get someone to sell, you'll have to go through so many hoops. It's not even worth it because you can't do an assignment, a contract. So you're on the right path. You're fine. Just understand it's normal what you're going through.
That's it.
Awesome. Thank
you. Oh, okay, man. Yeah, how's it going? Guys, we've spent too much, tens of thousands of dollars every single month to keep the videos up on freewholesaling.com with the bandwidth. We've spent our countless hours and hours over years creating a free wholesaling course, the only wholesaling course in the entire country that is completely free to A to Z. Guys, I've given you too much for you just to sit on your butt and say, I ain't going to do it. And then you get into wholesaling. Like, why am I not doing it? Okay, you didn't go through the stinking course. Guys, you have to go through freewholesaling.com. It's free. Am I going to ask for cash? I ain't asking for no money. I'm fronting the bill. I got the editors on there. We got the hosting of videos is insane cost, all these things. And we do it because we truly believe you should get the knowledge to become a great wholesaler. Guys, if I sold that course for $4,000, you'd be cashing in checks all day to pay for it. But because I gave it for free, everyone's like, oh, it's not worth my time. It's a free wholesaling course.
Guys, not only is it free, it is the most in-depth wholesaling course out there. If you take money away, I compete with $30,000 and $50,000 courses. Like, we give it to you. It's up to you if you're going to bring the action and you're going to have the right attitude to be successful in wholesaling. We prove it. We do it completely different than anybody else because I'm looking to develop like real players in this business. I can teach more people on this platform than any paid coach in the world. I proved it over and over again, but you guys got to understand, man, it's free. It's not worth it. Good luck. We have more organic testimonials of people being successful with freewholesaling.com than any other platform on the internet in wholesaling.
And the next part is if you hop on the one-on-one, talk to me and you give me a question that's explicitly in freewholesaling.com, I will know you didn't go through the course. And then when you say like Jorge said, not saying no, Jorge, well, I went through the course. Well, I didn't go through any of the important ones. What do you think I'm going to do?
Listen, guys, treat it like you paid any other guru like 10 grand because we're doing you a favor.
The only person you're failing is yourself.
Yeah, we've removed the financial restriction, which is everyone's number one complaint. But you don't bring the right attitude and you're not going to take the action and you're not going to be accountable for what you do. nobody can help you. Like, that's the secret. So we've removed every excuse for you. The question is, you're going to do it. Nobody has more videos than me and Zach in wholesaling, period.
No.
And if they do, put a link in there. I'd be happy to see. So we support it. We pay for this and we make it all free for you guys. Why? Because I want you guys to win. I want to create a legacy. I'm selfish and I want you guys to be selfish. But if you've got to go through the material, and the worst thing you do is come on here and let us like spoon feed you, because it's not like I can't make you go out and talk to people. So we put this course out a long time ago and we built on it every month since then. Guys, take it. I'm telling you, like, it is a gift. I swear to you, it's a gift. There is no hidden agenda, but you've got to take action.
Seriously, guys, just on this YouTube channel, not the other ones we have, 2,300 videos.
Yeah.
Guys,
nobody even close.
I don't. There's people that do it with the shorts and that, but I'm just saying, if you look at our four, I don't know what you're talking about.
Are people,
but I don't really care. But I'm telling you, if you add our TikToks, everything we got, it's insane. Guys, you're failing yourself by not going to freelancing.com. You're keeping yourself broke by not knowing what to do in freelancing.com. You are only disappointing yourself. You going to freelancing.com is not going to make me any more millions of dollars. It'll make you millions of dollars. So the only person you're by you not going to freelancing.com, you're failing yourself. You're failing your kids. You're failing your future family. You're failing your mom, your dad, your grandma. You're failing everyone that could benefit from you making money in wholesaling real estate. It's the truth. I'm not getting you emotional right now. So you go out here and I love Slimy Lou. Drop the link. Freewholesaling.com. That's the link, bro.
It's
free wholesaling. Drop the link. Get out of here. Go to freewholesaling.com. I rant over. DJ, what is up? He's muted. You're muted, man. DJ, you gotta mute yourself.
I'm back. Okay, what's good?
I'm good, man. How are you?
How y'all doing, man? Zach.
Every day above ground's an amazing day. Tell you that, DJ.
You as well. First of all, I want to say, y'all giving away free game for sure. It's definitely appreciated because there's so many workshops and everything, like y'all said, being sold, not just in this market, but in every market. So content like this can help change lives, and that's what I've been trying to do.
I've awesome. Seen it firsthand.
Probates. So I've been studying, you know what I'm saying, the probate laws and different things like that. And I remember on a video, I can't remember which one, that you guys discussed being able to close the probate and make a sale on the house before it's fully complete. Is that right? In certain states?
Yes.
So in Indianapolis market, I'm not sure if this is what would be hindering that situation or not. I think it's called, when I was doing the study on a website, it was called like supervised estate or unsupervised estate. Do you know if that, have you heard of it? And do you know if that determines anything?
So here's the challenge with this, DJ, is there's over 3,500 counties in this country.
Right.
Every one of them has a unique way on how they process probates. And then on top of that, then you got 50 states. For the most part, they usually fall in like between one or two camps. Right. And so I'm not a lawyer. I'm never here to give you like legal advice. Number one, you got to get familiar with your state probate laws, and not like detailed, like lawyer level, just understanding the process, who files, is there a petitioner? Is there an executor? What are the timeframes? Are there exemptions? Just understanding the basics. And then from there, I usually like to work with my title company and say, listen, when a property is in probate, do you have to officially wait until the probate is closed before I can buy it? And that's usually where they're going to offer you the information. Like, so because you remember, title companies has tens of thousands of transactions. They have a history of what's normal in your local market. And that's the easiest way to kind of figure it out. In general, if you ask a probate lawyer, do I have to wait till the probate's completed to buy this property? 9 out of 10 across the country will tell you yes. It is a lie. It is a selfish lie that they use to manipulate so they can control fees and how long this takes. There are a few exceptions of states. I'm not going to go through every one of them because responsibly, I'd have to go through all of the lower 48 states to like give you accurate information, and it's constantly changing. So
can I say what market I'm in, and you just, if you've dealt with it in that city, then you can.
But DJ, let me ask you a question. Did you ask your title company? What did they say?
Well, I called the title company, and then they suggested that I talk to their lawyer on site. But at that point, I was like, more than likely, they're going to want a consultation fee or anything like that.
DJ, you're mentally like, oh, I'm not going to do it. Oh, I'm going to give up. They're on-site title company. Of course they're not. An attorney, they'll talk to you for free.
They talk to you for free.
Did they say they're going to charge you?
Well, I had a scheduled appointment, and the appointment haven't came yet. So what I did is I went to the state's website and looked up the laws. So
you're mentally creating a roadblock in your mind. No one ever said they're going to charge you money. They have to tell you beforehand if they're going to.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't happen like that. So you're creating a roadblock in your head.
For a lawyer to charge you, you have to sign a consent, or they don't have any legal right to charge you, just so you know.
If they're not going to charge you, I literally talk to your own thing.
Sometimes you take the path of least resistance, and that's what I'm trying to give you first, because I don't want you to be like a lawyer. I don't want you to be a legal analyst and figure the whole thing out. The third way you can do is call your local county probate court and say, listen, is there such a thing as, if a property is in probate, can the buyer and seller agree to liquidate the asset before the probate's complete? And then they have a huge history of, you know, 50 plus years. Eventually you're going to get a consensus and you'll know where to go with it. If you ask a lawyer, they're going to tell you you can't do it. Right. If you ask a seller, guess who the seller's going to ask? They're going to ask a lawyer, and you're going to get the same answer. So our business is about providing solutions to help sellers out that they didn't even know they had the rights to do it. Remember, we're not hiring the lawyer. We don't really have the legal right to even ask the lawyer. So you've got to like do some investigative work to figure out what you can do. And that's how I came up with this great little trick. Did you know you can sell your house before the probate's even complete? You want to talk to me about it. And you just got to get a foundation from the state, from your title company, and from the local probate court in that county. And from that, I promise you, you will get a consensus. I would love to give you the blanket answer, but it's really hard. Honestly, at one point we put out I think 50 states for like probate laws and procedures. Mm-hmm. The problem is keeping it updated because they constantly change stuff. So some states are much more favorable than others. I'm not even going to like get into the specifics of it, but for the most part, 80, 90% of the states all comply to one set of the rules. The others have another set of rules. And you got to contact those three parties I talked to you to get a consensus. And then once you start doing deals, then you'll figure it out and you come even better with it. So if I accepted, when I asked an attorney, he says, no, you can't do it. I got my answer from a judge, from a probate judge. That's who I knew it was official. And like some of these are like unwritten rules. It's crazy. Yeah, so
just talk to the title company's lawyer, man. That's what I always say.
Don't be scared.
Don't get in your own head, man. Just do it.
And they can't charge you unless there's consent in writing.
I had a meeting with them. It's for tomorrow. I just wanted to do some extra research while I was waiting. I'm definitely
You got your work cut out.
I'll tell the attorney probably has a lot better opinions than me for that state of Indiana. So go talk to him.
Yeah. Remember, your specialty is finding people in probate that have a property they need to sell. And the other part, you use other people to help you. Like, what can I do? What can I do? And like, listen, don't always take everyone's answer before I go, can you give me the statute that says I have to do that? You'd be surprised. People will not produce it for you. Everybody goes on assumptions in this world. If you dig in and get the facts, your confidence will go through the roof on probates, especially if you're doing one particular market. Figure it out now, because you're an asset to all your sellers moving forward, and you make lawyers look like idiots. I love it. It's my favorite combination.
Right. And that's what made me ask, is I had talked to a motivated seller, but he was like, we're for sure going to sell it within the next 30 days, but we just can't make a move on it right now per the court documents and everything else. So
we'll talk to the lawyer and then get back to us.
You got it. You just got to seek him out and then get help for other people to tell you what you can and cannot do.
For sure.
Remember, DJ, the only person that's going to stop you is yourself.
Man, listen, man, I've been on this journey, man, of fighting with myself and working like a 9-to-5 at the same time trying to do this, because I know that this can be life-changing. So the game y'all giving away, you could just tell it's authentic. You know what I mean? So I definitely appreciate it if anybody else don't.
We've been through the same thing, man.
Dig through that probate stuff. and get the facts. Like, it just, you're not in the matrix, dude. You got to go and you got to get this stuff yourself. And once you have it, it's a blast. Cause then you're just like, no, you don't have to do that. And like, I get lawyers all the time. You can't do that. I go, really? What's the statute? Oh, no, that's just how we do it. I go, okay, well, if there's no statute, it means we can do it.
Okay. All right.
And then that's one more question. Go ahead.
What's the best list to drive for dollars or reverse drive for dollars? Like, if I'm pulling it from PropStream?
In Indianapolis, it will be the pre-foreclosures and code violations.
Okay, yeah, because even when I drive for dollars, I could tell when it's a code violation because they'll stick a certain piece of paper on the door. And I feel like those, you know, give extra motivation, like if they got a structural stop.
There's two, man. Telling you, you can't beat an Indy for those.
Reverse.
As long as you avoid the hood, you'd be good. Avoid the hood. Pre-foreclosures, code violations on really desirable properties. It's money, man.
Noted, man. I appreciate y'all, man. I tap in on your next one.
All right.
I'm up all the time. I can sit here and talk to y'all all day.
Okay, appreciate it, man. Have a good one, DJ.
Yep.
Oh, awesome. Love it. Next one, we got Sebastian.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
So I've got a seller finance question. So we've been keeping up the cold calling. We talked to a lady two nights ago that we pulled from an evictions list. And so, you know, it seemed like she was fairly motivated. She's wanted 170. We're comping it at like 200, between 200 and like 210. But, you know, for it to be cash, you know, it would be too low of an offer for her. So we're going to offer seller finance to her. So we called her last night, tried to talk through some of the numbers with her. And she's basically, like, her logic is that she wants like 2% more than what a bank would be making on a loan. And so I don't know if there's like a way that we could like talk her down. Cause we're basically saying, okay, you know, if we can come in at, you're asking of 170, you know, can we basically agree to terms? Right. But she's saying that she would want like a 50% down payment and like a 7.5% interest.
That's not creative financing. That's actually more than what you'd have to go to the bank to buy the property.
Right. Exactly. Robbery. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I want $5 million for my house too.
Yeah.
Listen, a good creative financing deal is like, not that I don't care about the interest rate because it's based on cash flow, but if you got to put down 50%, it's not a creative financing deal. It's a terrible deal. So it's like with that, like I'll give you what you want, but I'll put down, you know, 500 or 1,000. And then you got to give me 5 or 10 years to cash it out. And if it does, listen, here's the one thing I will tell you all. If you think it's bad enough, like trying to get people that want to sell their house to try to like force them to do a wholesale deal, creative financing is even worse. If they are not, you have to be their only solution.
Yeah.
And they just have to accept your numbers. Now, you can't, I have a lot of deals. I have a 10-year deal right now where I have 0% financing. Zero.
Yeah.
Guys like, dude, just buy it. If you have to negotiate the rate, they're probably not motivated. And listen, the going rate's 7% right now retail. Mm-hmm. If they don't like 7%, like I guarantee they're not earning 7% anywhere else.
Right.
And I love people go, well, the stock market. The stock market is not, it's okay. But even the stock market in good years is 8% on average, 8 to 12%. And you're taking a tremendous amount of risk. This is secured and backed with a mortgage and a promissory note. So I'm just telling you, like, do not, you can never make someone do a creative financing deal. Either it works for them and you solve a problem, but once they want to negotiate all 50% down, dude, I'd be done right there. Like,
yeah.
If the interest rate's 25%, are you going to put 50% down? No. Yeah. And honestly, you're never going to attract a cash buyer to do that. If you're like, what's the point? I'll just cash the whole thing out.
Right. Because so we were even thinking like it might be something that, you know, obviously before we got to the point where she was saying that's what she wanted, we were thinking we might be able to take it down ourselves and potentially like wrap it. But yeah, so she, just to give you a little bit more context, she hasn't even seen the property in 3 years. Yeah. And so she's saying that, you know, she's, you know, like we said, going through an eviction, the tenants, she's trying to get it out in October. And so it's like, okay, she's saying that it's going to be just carpet paint, but we know it's probably going to be more than that if she hasn't seen it. So I think we're wondering if it'd be just worth it just to like do the long play, let her try to put it on market and then just keep following up with her. And
time and circumstance. The property might be motivated, so I would keep your eyes on it. But like,
right.
Kill the creative finance. It's not going to work with her. If like she's okay. starting off with that, just kill it and focus on trying to get the best wholesale deal possible.
Yeah.
Remember, guys, creative financing is a last resort. Like, that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. When they want 50% up front. Like, that's the worst. Honestly, if you did that deal, it would be the hardest deal in your life to sell.
Wow. No one's going to want to buy that.
Think about that. You can't even get hard money and figure out like how to make that work. And I'm like, you know, most people they're better off just going and get a traditional loan and get underwriting with a bank. 50% down, it screws up all options for you. And
exactly.
It just protects her. I just got to laugh when people make ridiculous counterclaims to creative. I move on. I never count. You can't counter. Either they accept it or they don't. And then I always say, when I can't get a wholesale deal, I'm like, are you open to a creative solution? And then I try to walk them through. Why don't you list the property? And then once you walk them through, like I'm stuck. There's nothing I can do. That's when I go, listen, you open a creative solution. I go, what if I could give you a couple grand down and we could work out some long-term financing? Is that something you're open to? And if they go, I need 50% down and I need 2 points above market rate. Okay, well, I'll make you the best. I go right back to whole. I wouldn't even discuss creative financing going forward. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. I felt like I had another question, but then I'm blanking on it.
Creative financing is a last resort option, guys. That's why people do it, because they've tried everything else and it won't work. And you should be the natural fit, and there should be zero resistance. You have to show them that you're trusted and you're confident in what you can do. And that's the only thing you're selling in creative financing. But that's a worst case scenario, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Kind of like we talked to the first guy. It's like, I mean, just that is an unmotivated seller.
Exactly.
On the other end. So
good luck finding that buyer. Like, nobody in the right. Honestly, 50%, you might as well get the deepest discount and cash the whole damn thing out, in my opinion. So there's no way to make that number work. And you can't. There's no real seller financing to build it in, because their 50% puts them in a half equity position. It makes no sense. So 10% or less, you can maybe make it work, but I'm not a big fan of putting up a huge chunk of money on creative financing.
I agree. That's what we were thinking. Okay. And then one more question is like follow-up frequency. So not for this particular lady, but just kind of in general. So on the cold calls, when they have like some interest, but you know, it's like a not right now situation, should I call up every like week or two? I just don't want to get to the point where I'm like coming across as annoying, or like, but then also not waiting long enough to lose their interest. Cause I had a probate where at first they were interested, but then when I called them back, they said they weren't anymore.
Sebastian, a seller's never going to be upset that you care too much.
Yeah. 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 You guys said that.
Oh, that's Sebastian.
That's true.
He called me to see how he was doing.
Yeah.
What a stupid guy.
It's really about just budgeting like your time. And like, I hate, like, so the instance that we talked to the gentleman earlier where she's so unrealistic and wants to sell it for wish price.
Yeah.
I ain't calling her every week, once maybe every 90 days. Yeah. And then sometimes this is part of trial and error that you learn when you go through. Nobody ever gets it perfect. Some people you call too much and they'll just like, don't ever call me again. That sucks. But honestly, more people are guilty of not doing enough follow-up. So I'd rather you harass people more and not call them, because it's actually a better habit and it'll yield more deals. There is a fine point. And honestly, until you guys push the envelope, you will never know. And how do you know when a seller goes, you know what? I liked you, Rick, but you're annoying as hell. And because you keep bugging me, I'm not going to do a deal with you. Every now and then I've gotten that. And I'm like, but you know, I got three other deals because I was annoying the other people. So it's like, I lost one, but I got two plus. Right. That's what's called running a business, period. Yeah. So don't worry about it. And if you're a naturally pushy person and you're like putting it on like steroids, then you got to go, okay, I need to like calm down a little bit. Like, remember, the idea is to try to help people out. If you're just like, are you selling me your house today? Are you going to sell it to me today? You got to have a reason to call people. Okay? Yeah. I was just thinking about you. I just want to make sure everything's okay. You know, you got that leak in that roof. How's everything working out with the house?
Yeah.
Then I eventually bridge to go, hey, have you thought over about the offer we made you a week ago? And that's it. If you just call and pound people, you hate when people pound you, and people will do the same thing, but just kind of weigh your options. And the worst one is some people go, I really don't know the value of the house. I don't understand it. And some people are actually telling the truth, but a majority of them are lying. And you have to like play this psychic social worker, psychologist game. Welcome to wholesaling. And the best thing to do is Just look at the business. Look at the overall numbers. Every now and then you'll screw up one, but you're going to get more deals by contacting more people. Just figure out how to do it. The only exception, if you're naturally a pushy person, like you really like hammering people, some of you people need to dial it down. But like, you're a freak case and you'll do really good in wholesaling. Okay. So just understand that.
I agree. Cool. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Okay, of course.
Awesome.
See ya. All right.
Boom. Next we got Joy.
Yay. Hi. Okay. My question has a lot of exposition. So, okay. I am trying to close my first deal. And my big question is, how do I handle putting this particular property under contract? I found a woman while I was driving for dollars who has two houses right next door to each other. She is handling getting rid of these houses for her husband, who she said, if I can move these houses for them within 30 days, then I have access to his portfolio of 50 other properties that he also wants to offload. Yeah. Okay. Great. So here's the problem. He wants $25,000 flat for every property in his portfolio. Now, I actually got to go and look at the houses yesterday, and I went with an end buyer who's been kind of helping me and guiding me through things in the area. He said that the one house, he couldn't do more than 24, period, end of story. The second house has good electric, up to code, and it has its furnace, and it has really, really good bones, but it's got foundation issues, and otherwise it's going to have to be completely demoed, and he doesn't want to touch it at all. So my question is, do I still try to put these under contract for 25 and just say, well, there's somebody out there who will spend this, or do I try to talk her down? How do I handle this situation? Because I really want those other 50 houses.
So you're a little too like ahead of yourself here. How do you eat an elephant? Do you know?
One bite at a time.
So why are you trying to eat the whole elephant at one bite?
Because I want access to the elephant, period.
Can you eat an elephant with one bite?
No.
Why are you trying to do it then?
So let me explain this to you. And
so just
I use my 21 years experience. Okay. What do I define a professional investor as? How many properties do they usually own? The minimum amount. There's a sweet spot in it. If they own four or more properties on average, they know what they're doing. Like, they have a lot of experience. People have less than four properties, they have no idea what they're doing, and they usually get into real estate and they find out tenants suck. They're a pain in the butt. They're very difficult. And this wasn't what the course I bought into it. I want to get rid of it. And I tell you this to save you guys aggravation. What's happening here is you're being teased by the 50 portfolio. Lose that number because you're not buying all 50. Okay. This person's accumulated over a long time. A lot of times when people have these big portfolios, they'll sell you the sob story. Hey, I'm just getting rid of my husband's properties, and if you get rid of these 30 days, I'll sell you the rest of them. And then they say, you got to buy them all for a flat number. You can't, because you get so tempted by the other 48. They're trying to trick you into overpaying for the two, and you're never going to have a shot at the rest of them. So you can only buy the properties of what they're worth today. And here's simply what I do with someone of the 50. I go, listen, just give me the property you want to sell now. I'll tell you if I can do a deal. The fact they're trying to sell you a property with a crappy foundation, a house that needs to knock down, that's all you need to know about this person. They're wasting your time, most likely. But take their most tired piece of crap house that's vacant. You offer it on the numbers. If you can't get a deal on that one, you will not get a deal on the rest of them. And the last thing you want to do is buy 50 houses at retail price. It's the fastest ways for you to get killed. This is just the truth. Most people aren't going to tell you this. You're being tempted with it. It's like the guy who pulls up in like the most like strung out, incredible cars worth $400,000 or $500,000. You're like, my God, he must have a lot of money. Honestly, these people are, they're difficult. And then, $25,000 houses, they're cheap houses, probably a cheap market. And I assume they rented them out, right?
No, he bought these at tax sale and
there's a reason. So I want you to understand number two, somebody who buys these at like a tax sale, you know why they were bought, right? Because nobody wanted them. So he bought them for cheap, cheap, cheap. And he's trying to make a huge buck off of you. Listen, underwrite the property for what it is. And if he's giving you two that are a piece of crap right off the bat, just understand every one of them is going to be like that going away. Foundation issue. The house needs to be knocked down. It's only worth land value. And he wants 25 grand. It's probably worth a grand or two. So I listen, it doesn't mean wholesaling's bad, but like you've got an experience, you've got a lesson. Honestly, when they own four or more properties, guys, pay attention because they're usually trying to work you over. These are the numbers in the game, and that's it. He's got one property that needs to be knocked down, and he's trying to sell you for 25. Doesn't that concern you? Like, I don't like to do business with people like that. I hate that.
And that was my fear, that all 50 properties were going to be like this.
Most likely. Like, you're just getting a sample of it. And he doesn't want to be liable. He doesn't know anything. It's like, yada, yada, yada. So have somebody go out and look at the property, and if it's that bad, and he goes, no, I need 25. I can't move from it. Run as far as you can from this person and just learn from it. You go, hey, listen, when I get someone with a big portfolio, Rick told me just pick, give me your most tired week one. If we can make it work on those numbers, great. If you can't, that way you don't waste your time underwriting and comping 50 properties, which is what you're going to try to do, and it's not going to work. So you already got feedback from one cash buyer. Maybe you find some others. Someone that'll help you out with it. But if he's telling you I won't pay and you believe those numbers, then it is what it is. So go back to him and go, listen, I give you 20 for that property. And if he won't give you 20, I probably just move on. I don't think he's going to work out. Don't be tempted by the 50 portfolio. And honestly, if they did, so if they rented them out, they usually run them to the ground and they're like, okay, I don't want to put like $1 million in these properties. Let's wholesale them. Or they bought them on like a tax deed sale. Those are even worse because that means nobody else wanted it at the auction because there's usually an underlying problem with it. So
I think he bought each of these for $500 at tax deed.
Why are you even messing with it? It's a problem. I'm just telling you, it's going to be a
disaster. And you
got to
remember, they're also comps for the cash buyer. So,
I don't like these types of properties. I'm looking, typically we deal with someone who owns 50 properties and they rented them out and they have a history with them. And I'll be honest, they're very difficult as well. Yeah. But if he's just trying to flip them on you.
Okay.
He's going to get you taught. Now he's going to rip off probably five or six people and then he's going to lose his butt on the others. So I want you to understand not everybody's like this in the business, but you're going to come across people like this in the business. If the house doesn't stand on its own on the numbers, you just move on. The fact someone tries to sell you a property, what did he say about the foundation issues?
The other investor who was there with me saw a very big line in the basement all the way around. I was going to talk to the owner today, and I was trying to figure out what to say to them.
He's going to act like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's just cosmetic. That's what they all do. So it's, listen, I mean, what do these things rent for if they're in like normal condition?
$1,300.
Yeah. Listen, if you're buying at 500 a tax sale that anybody in the world can buy, you got to wonder why is he the one's getting it for 500 bucks? It should be bid up to $5,000 or $10,000, right? So like you got to go, okay, things can't be this easy. There's no shortcuts in wholesaling. He's not a motivated seller. He's trying to maximize it. And I don't think if they are trying to sell you properties that need to be knocked down, heed the warning. And by the way, whenever I've gone down these loopholes, they've created massive problems in my life. And I just want you to learn from it. If it was that easy, everybody in the world would wholesale. It's just not that easy. There's a reason he bought them for 500 bucks because they're going to be very difficult to sell. And most likely there's no title insurance probably with these properties either. You got to ask them that too.
Mm.
Because if you can't get title insurance, you can't even sell it. So a property, 500 bucks, I would take a risk all day long to sell it to someone to you for like 25 grand. And the fact if he wouldn't take 20 on that one property, you got to wonder like the hell's going on. So I don't think it's going to work out. I'm just trying to help you out. I don't want you to waste time and don't let people like this drive you out of the business. They are not your typical sellers in wholesaling and they burn a lot of people when they go down the path. So
thank you.
Do some research on the house from your computer. Don't spend any more energy on it. And you'll probably see the property trade hands 30, 40 times. It means it's a really problematic property. So you're excited, you're hunting, and that's
Hi.
Awesome. Don't let this guy burn you out of the business. These are not the normal types of sellers. You ever hear of it? If it's too good to be true,
it probably is.
And that's your gut feeling, right?
Yeah.
Now, listen, if he had one or two properties, I might be a little more excited for you. 50, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's going to try to scam somebody. It ain't really you.
Yeah, and based on county records, it looks like he's actually got 200 properties that he owns. It's just these 50 he wants to get rid of.
Do the research.
The 50 problematic ones. So
yeah.
Hopefully I saved you from a nightmare, because I'm just telling you, if you bought them, you probably never get rid of them.
All right.
So
all right.
Thank you very
much. Test them out at 20 grand. If you can't do 20 grand, you're literally wasting your time with the guy.
Okay.
Okay. And make sure you do a long inspection period. So you got it.
All righty.
Sorry.
Okay, Joy. Right. No problem.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
All right. Just for the kids started screaming. Perfect. All right, guys. So that's how you make 500K your first year. Go after here and go to freelancing.com, learn at wholesale houses, and you'll be the next 500K a year wholesaler. So guys, make sure you go to freelancing.com, hit that like button, subscribe, and we'll see you next on the next video. So I appreciate you guys.
See you guys.